This is The Blade and Beyond with the DC Dynamic Duo. Learn every detail about life on both ends of the knife. And now, live from Washington, D.C., your hosts, board-certified plastic surgeons, Dr. Michael Somanik and Dr. Troy Pittman.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the first episode of The Blade and Beyond. I am Dr. Michael Somanik, a double board-certified facial plastic surgeon.
Double board-certified.
Yes, and I am joined by...
Dr. Troy Pittman, a board-certified aesthetic plastic surgeon. Welcome. We're super excited to have our inaugural podcast. It's Sunday, September 12th. We are nice and caffeinated and ready to get going.
I am currently caffeinating as we speak. So this is our first episode, and we wanted to give you a little background about who we are, what our practice is about, and kind of talk about the evolution and why we even thought about doing a podcast.
Well, let's just start and talk about the practice. So you started the practice 3.5 years ago.
Yes, in a small 1,200 square foot office. It was me and somebody who answered phones. And I was my own medical assistant. I was my own everything for about a year.
Yeah. And then I showed up on your doorstep and I said, I'm ready to leave the university and go into private practice, and you're going to be my partner.
Yes, he did not go through the proper avenues of submitting a job application. So he was just kind of approved on the spot, if you will.
Yeah, well, I broke in and forced my way in. For those of you that don't know us, in full disclosure, we should premise all of this in saying that we are not only partners in business, but we're partners in life, and we've been together for 15 years. We'll save that for an upcoming podcast called Dinner with the DC Dynamic Duo, where we talk about kind of how we met and things like that.
Yeah, that's going to be a juicy podcast.
So go ahead and talk a little bit about our practice now.
Yeah, so I mean, we've expanded considerably over the past 2.5-3 years. We now have a space that's about, 6,000 square feet total.
Yes.
We have expanded our own operating facility, and we really decided to build our own operating suite in sort of a weird, timely manner right during COVID.
Right. And that's a whole story for another day as well. But you know, we really ended up building the surgery suites because we wanted to control the whole patient experience. We were seeing patients in the office and we were giving them this really couture concierge care. And then we lost all the control when the patients got to the hospital. And we realized that the only way to really control the whole patient experience was to have the surgical suite on site. And we built 2 ORs.
Yeah, we have 2 ORs. I mean, we have our own anesthesia team who are board certified anesthesiologists. They're an entire nursing team that we have. So it's a very one-on-one private experience that I think almost universally our patients just love.
Yeah, they really like the privacy that comes with that. And then the third kind of arm of the clinical practice is the med spa, which we have 2 aestheticians. We're in the process of building out a full service spa where we'll have, in addition to the aestheticians, we'll have massage therapists, lymphatic massage therapists, acupuncturists. So it's really going to be a wellness center, and the front of the facility is going to be a skincare store.
Yeah, even though I have a phobia of needles, ironically, I'm excited about the acupuncturist. But the other thing that we have is a research division. So we really have a passion for just research in general, innovation, developing and creating new devices. And we've really aligned ourselves and worked with some companies to help them with the approval of some devices, such as like fat reduction, muscle stimulation, which have proven to be really successful.
Yeah, the TruSculpt line, we did the original studies for those devices that are now kind of really one of the standards for non-invasive body contouring.
Yeah, and right now they're using our original study that we did to try and get approval in Japan. So that's really exciting. We're currently, we're almost done with a 2-year trial. It's surely flown by, on a collagen stimulator called Sculptra. Now that's something that's like been approved for a while, but we're trying to get a new indication for it. I can't really say much more than that, but it's really shown some amazing results, and I'm excited to share those with you in upcoming episodes.
And we've really stuck to our mission of expansion always and always. So there's certainly a lot going on. you know, a lot of people have asked, why do a podcast? What are you trying to do with a podcast? And I think that there are a number of reasons why we've decided to kind of bring this onto the airwaves.
Yeah, I mean, I think you and I both like the educational platform.
For sure.
You worked at Georgetown, you worked with residents. I currently work with some of the GW residents that come and rotate with me. So we really like educating people. And one of the reasons that we want to focus on this is debunking myths.
And there are so many myths with the internet, with cosmetic surgery.
There are so many. And I mean, I just had someone this week come in who has traditionally gotten Botox to her masseter muscles for grinding and also a little bit of facial shaping as a secondary gain. And she said, Bethany Frankel, you know, one of the older housewives of New York, said that she has been getting Botox to her masseters and it caused her jawbone to like
atrophy?
Shrink down or atrophy or something. And I was like, well, that's totally false. But there's these myths that fly around that are totally not validated that patients take as the Bible because it's from like a celebrity or Dr. Google.
And there's, really a lot of myths regarding breast augmentation and breast implants. The salacious topic of breast implants in the news, there's always a new myth or some kind of controversy coming out. And we really want to use this as a platform for real education. This is not Google. This is not Facebook. This is not social media. This is really two experts talking about what we do. We'll have patients on. We will talk about the procedures that we do. We're going to have patients as guests. So we want to talk about why they decided to have their procedure, what it was like to recover. And we think that'll be really good for all of our listeners to hear who maybe are a little bit nervous about a procedure or considering planning an upcoming procedure.
Yeah, and I think highlighting some of the procedures that we most commonly perform, talking about the frequently asked questions, things of that nature are really important because it's kind of about demystifying something that is otherwise a little bit mysterious to someone who doesn't do this on a daily basis.
And we'll shortly have a platform that all of you who are listening can write into and submit questions. So we'll have questions that you can submit on social media or submit questions on our website, and we will address those in the episode. So if there are things you're dying to hear us talk about, things that you want us to answer, you can write in.
And I think one of the most, getting back to sort of us having a personal and professional relationship, I think one of the most common questions people have once they find out that we are not only partners in our professional career,
but married,
is how do we work and live together? So I'm going to let you start off with that answer because I have my own take on this.
Well, I mean, it is exactly what you think it is. We are together pretty much 24/7. So much of the time when we meet a vendor or something and they're trying to get our cell phone numbers, we say you can have one of our cell phone numbers because we're never more than about 6 feet apart, which is a little bit of hyperbole, but we are together 24/7. I can't think of anybody else that I could probably do this with. Quarantine proved that we're able to actually see each other and not kill each other.
Yes, we are still together despite staring out the window during spring of 2020 and watching the hostas bloom one leaf at a time and having coffee with each other every day. But I think that, so our setup is very unique, obviously, and it is not for everyone. Not every couple is meant to work together and live together. And, you know, going back to, we've been together 15 years. We met each other in residency in the hospital. So we sort of started our relationship working within the same institution.
Well, we've never really been surgeons without each other. So we really learned how to be surgeons together.
Right. And we also operated together back then,
yeah.
You know, because you were a general surgery resident. I was an ENT resident. And so we were used to working together all the time. And so it wasn't an unnatural or unreasonable progression once we kind of came together and aligned forces with a unified practice. But also at the same time, it is about setting boundaries and expectations with each other, like any solid relationship. And there is something to be said about turning off at the end of the night or when you get home. where you're not talking constantly about work, because you have to separate it. Otherwise, it just becomes one blurry.
You're at work all the time.
Yes, you're at work all the time. And for me personally, like, I don't operate well. I mean, not surgically, but just functionally, I don't operate well in that type of situation.
We'll have to cut that out in post-production, the clip of I don't operate well.
Yes. But I mean, it is really, it does come down to that. So we've fine-tuned that. It isn't a perfect science. We are always a work in progress, as I like to say. So, but otherwise, I mean, I can't think of anybody else I'd rather be in practice with.
Well, we're making it work. And that's, I mean, I think that's the bottom line. And finally, we really want to use the podcast as a platform to talk about what it takes to run a business and how we have been very successful in operational things. And there are a lot of people who are listening who maybe are younger and considering going into private practice, or who are young entrepreneurs and they want to know how to get the ball rolling. And we're going to have some episodes on business development and things like that. So that transitions us into our next segment called
In the News. a work in progress, yeah, you guys.
In our practice news. So recently we started a policy in the office where anyone who's coming in for a consult or a treatment, such as a facial or a Botox injection or something like that, everyone needs to be vaccinated.
Yeah, we started to see some more larger companies creating these mandates, and there was just so much going on in the news with variants and breakthrough infections. And we have a team of 15 people in the office. That we're responsible for, that comes to work every day with smiles on their face, committed to us. And we want to maintain that same level of commitment to them, that we care about them and we want to protect them, because we're not seeing just two people a day in the office. We're seeing anywhere between, 40 to 60 people on a busy day. And that is a lot of people to come in contact with. Obviously, we have a mask policy in the office, so we have that down. We've never strayed away from wearing masks, even when everyone was vaccinated and the mask mandates were taken away within the District of Columbia. So, you know, you're the one that really kind of wanted to spearhead that. So,
well, I mean, I think that everything we do in all of our policies, in the OR, in the office, in the med spa, it's safety first. And our number one priority is the safety of our patients and our staff. And so in addition to protecting the staff, we needed to protect the patients. And we were seeing breakthrough infections at a higher rate. And it's even to protect the unvaccinated. The last thing I would want is for an unvaccinated person to come in to get a facial and get an infection in our office. We've been incredibly lucky. I got to find wood somewhere here to knock on. We've been incredibly lucky to not have any contact tracing traced back to us. So no one's gotten COVID in our office that we're aware of. And this was not a time to start that. So it's not been a universally popular decision. We got a lot of social media trolls.
Yeah, the trolls have come out, but we're fine with that. I mean, we expected anytime you come out with something that is the least bit controversial, someone's going to have a nasty voice behind their iPhone or Android.
Yeah, it's easy to be anonymous. But for the most part, the people that are not anonymous, who we see in the office, I have patients every day who come in and they say, thank you so much for really tightening the reins. I feel like this is a safe space to be in.
I think most patients have been really receptive to it. They appreciate that we care about them. And we're kind of there's a bit of a selection bias in our region, because I do feel like we have a high vaccination rate in general. So not many of our existing patients have actually been impacted by that decision. There's a handful, I would say.
And if you're dying to get your facial or your toxin injection or your filler, or you're dying to get your breast augmentation, just get vaccinated. Get vaccinated anyway, even if you don't want cosmetic things. Just get vaccinated.
So kind of shifting gears a little bit, we want to also make this podcast not just medical, but just to kind of talk about our personal life as well. Give you a little insight as to what we do when we're outside of the office. So we were fortunate.
We're going to talk about summer vacation now?
We are going to talk about summer vacation. I told you we were going to do this.
Okay.
So, you know, we were fortunate enough to have taken a summer vacation. It was our first real true vacation since February of 2020. And prior to that, you know, we had actually traveled to Europe right before kind of COVID hit. So we were fortunate to actually get that done.
Where did we go?
We went to Paris.
To the MCAS right.
meeting.
Yes.
So we did that, and then we hadn't traveled really internationally and had very limited domestic travel since, you know, recently. So we went to Spain for about 9 days, which we had been to in the past in Barcelona because there's a meeting there every year, but obviously it hasn't been there the past couple of years. But we wanted to try something new. And a little background on me, I had actually lived with a family in Spain while I was in high school for a summer. And I have always loved Spain. I speak Spanish pretty well. I wouldn't consider myself fully fluent.
I don't think so. I mean, you can really speak Spanish.
Well, I'm like a perfectionist when it comes to that. So if I'm not able to like speak like I'm, you know, giving a government speech, then I just still don't consider myself fluent.
You can speak Spanish as well as Penelope Cruz can speak English.
Hopefully my accent is better. But, you know, I've always loved Spain, and you've never been to Madrid.
That's right.
So we went to Madrid. We stayed there for 5 days. It was just like, it's a gorgeous city. I mean, what were your thoughts on it?
Well, you know, it's funny because someone said to me the other day that they think of Madrid as kind of like the Washington, D.C. of Spain, whereas Barcelona is more like the New York City of Spain. That it's a little bit more business, it's a little cleaner, it's a little bit more buttoned up. I actually really loved Madrid. I almost prefer it to Barcelona because it was a little bit slower. We benefited from the fact that all of the Spaniards leave in August, so there really wasn't a lot of crowd in the city. It's amazing to be abroad because the mask issue in Europe is a non-issue. Everyone is wearing a mask. And there's no chin strap masks where the masks are falling off of people's noses. I mean, everyone was masked up. So there was never a time where I really felt like we were in a high-risk environment.
Yeah, everyone was totally respectful. Like you said, yeah, there was no like hanging off the chin. Oh, I'm wearing my mask. It's on my ears. It was like a very safe environment. And
Madrid is beautiful. For those of you that don't know, it's kind of like right in the middle. It's kind of, I felt it was like the Vegas of Spain climate wise because there's no humidity and it was hot. It was 100 degrees, but it was a dry heat.
Yeah, a dry heat, like they like to say. But we really take advantage when we travel. We're not like the hikers that are going to go up into the mountains with our backpack. But we are constantly on foot. We walked probably 7-8 miles a day.
We took a tuk-tuk tour, which is, for those of you who don't know what a tuk-tuk is, it's like a little electric rickshaw. So there's a driver and it runs through electricity and then they drive you all around the city in this little cart that you can jump on and jump off when you get to sites. It's kind of like the big red jump on, jump off bus, but it's your own little vehicle.
Yeah, he was told, what was his name? I forgot.
Ivan.
Oh, Ivan is what he called himself in all of Spanish. So he was really great and took us around. But so we were in Madrid for 5 days, really explored the city, went to some awesome restaurants, and then we went to Mallorca, which is an island off of Spain. It's sort of in the Ibiza. It's near Ibiza. It's the Balearic Islands. And it's the largest island there, which, I mean, I kind of knew. But then when we got there, I was like, this island's really big.
Yeah, it's huge.
It's a totally different feel than Madrid, because obviously Madrid's a city. It's on land. This was more of like island life. Very, a lot of history with it.
Less walkable. So we decided if we're going to see the Mediterranean coast, we need to rent little Vespas.
My God. Well, this is where the story comes. So we rented Vespas and you wanted your own because you didn't feel comfortable with me driving.
I did not want to be on the back of the Vespa.
You didn't, but we have a Vespa. I drive one in throughout DC all the time.
So for those of you that live locally, you can see us on the Vespa with one of us driving and the other one of us on the back. I'm sure that someone's going to photograph that one day.
I'm sure. So we rented scooters and I wouldn't even call them Vespas. And the guy was like, just follow the road around the island near the coast and you'll be able to get a great tour. And so we're doing that for about 15-20 minutes, driving down the port in Palma and enjoying the scenery. And we're like, really like feeling it.
And then it was like a local road. And yeah, then we were on kind of like a little medium size road, but it was still local.
Right. And so we get to a stoplight. Obviously, we stop. It turns green.
You actually ran three stoplights before you stopped at that
one. I didn't know at that point. But anyway, those are small details. And so we, you know, proceed past the light after it turns green. And then we get on this ramp. And I thought it was just going to kind of curve around and go to another part of the island.
But the signs all had blue arrows. And so I kind of forgot about international signage. So just like here, when you're on like the 1A, the interstate adjacent road, it's the white sign. And then when you get on the interstate, it's the blue sign. And so these were all blue signs, but they didn't say interstate like they do here. So I didn't say anything. Yeah, they just said blue. They were just blue arrows. And so all of a sudden, we are merging in our little 30-mile-an-hour scooter. We're merging onto the 120-kilometer or 75-mile-an-hour speed limit. We were basically on the 405 or the Beltway, like this huge
interstate. In the left lane, though.
And it was a left merge, so we were stuck in the left lane.
Which is the fastest lane for those of you that have not been on a highway in a while. So we quickly realized this, but cars were just flying past us, honking their horns. Nobody was sympathetic to the situation. And I was trying to crank up the throttle to try and get it to go as fast as I could. But I was also kind of simultaneously nervous for you because you don't ride the Vespa as much as me.
Well, so and that there was nowhere to go. So you could go over to the left and go off the road, but there was a huge rumble strip. And if you go over the rumble strip, I was definitely going to crash. And then there's this big white truck that I can see in my shaky little rearview mirror coming up behind me. So it was kind of, I had nowhere to go.
Well, until a group of three motorcycle angels.
The motorcycle angels, yes.
They came and blocked off the middle lane to allow you to move over. And as soon as I saw you move over, I moved over, and then we got the hell out of there. We got off the highway. And ironically, the first exit that we got off at was the location we were trying to get to on the side road. So,
but I think I blacked from the time the motorcycle angels showed up to the time we stopped at our first stop. I have no recollection of it. I think I completely blacked out of stress.
So we made it, and you know, we still continued to ride our little motorcycle scooters for about another 4 hours throughout the island, all on side roads.
Until we,
well,
on the way back, we ended up doing it again.
We did.
And we pulled over on the side of the road. Well, you pulled over, I followed you.
Because
and
I was like, what the hell are we going to do now?
And this is ride or die. That's what I said. We're going to ride or die. We can't go backwards on the interstate, so we need to just keep going. And we got off at that exit, but
very quickly in the right lane, mind you.
If you're going to be driving in Europe, make sure you know your signage.
And don't use us as your tour guide. I think that's the moral of the story. So, okay, switching gears.
That was summer vacation, all in a nutshell, in 8 minutes. Okay, so now we're going to do a new segment called Five Things to Know.
Yes, so first question are, what don't people know about you? One thing.
Me?
No, me.
I think that, you know, obviously, the biggest thing people don't know is that I used to be a professional actor in New York City. And so I was a singer, dancer. I'm a very proficient tap dancer that most people don't know that. And I did that before I went to medical school.
Well, I think one of the weirdest things...
I'll be singing in future podcasts.
Yes, you will. You're going to have your own podcast for that. One thing that people don't know about me is that when I was in college, how I made money in the summers was I worked at a greenhouse that was about 30 miles from where I lived. And I drove there every day and became an expert at perennials, which for those of you who don't know what perennials are, they're plants that come back every year. And we were the largest distribution facility for all of the Home Depots throughout the Midwest and East Coast. So,
was that before or after you sold ladies' shoes?
Oh my God. That was before I sold ladies' shoes. That was for 6 months. So I know my plants really well. It's such a strange fact about me, but it also makes me really great at planning and landscaping our backyard.
Okay, so number two, what is your favorite food?
I always go back and forth about this because, you know, I always go back to my Polish roots. And I love like a good sauerkraut and Polish sausage dish. But at the same time, I'm a sucker for French fries. Like, that is like my kryptonite.
And I think my favorite food is probably French fries and chicken tenders. I always laugh that any children's menu, I would be happy with. Grilled cheese sandwiches, chicken tenders. I could order off the children's menu at any restaurant. Those are my favorite foods.
Okay. Your favorite surgery to perform?
My favorite surgery to perform is probably breast reduction, because it is immediately gratifying. You take large breasts, you make them smaller breasts, and the patient satisfaction is about 100%. Everyone is relieved that their breasts are smaller and lighter. They can do things that they haven't been able to do in the past. I would say most women that I do a breast reduction on lose weight afterwards because they become a lot more active. So it's high patient satisfaction, high surgeon satisfaction, win-win. That's my favorite.
I think mine would be rhinoplasty. I mean, it's the most common procedure that I perform. It's also the most challenging for me. And overall, it's an extremely gratifying procedure because it's something that you're operating on. It's a central portion of someone's face. So for me, I think that I really enjoy going through the journey with patients, which, I mean, this is a surgery that's not for everyone to perform. This is a very specialized surgery. So that's my favorite.
Okay. What is your favorite place to travel?
Well, I kind of alluded to that. I really love Spain, but I've had some really memorable and amazing experiences in France and Paris specifically. So I would say Paris right now. For me.
I think mine is London because it's Europe-ish and you can go to theater and the restaurants are great. And I love a British accent.
Ooh, well, I'm pretty straightforward and simple with that. Like, I love a gin martini with blue cheese olives.
Same.
I know, we are the same with that.
Pretty boring. Okay, so that is five things. So we're almost out of time, but here's a little preview of things to come.
Coming up this season on The Blade and Beyond.
I'm not sure what she was thinking, but I don't make breasts that big.
I think the hardest thing about starting a business.
So then really, what was your recovery like?
There's really many factors that go into what makes someone an ideal rhinoplasty candidate.
Tell me a little bit about why you want to have a breast reduction.
What's the most common complaint someone has after breast augmentation?
Now, really, there are three components to a mommy makeover.
So what's this breast implant illness all about?
Can you stop slurping your coffee? I can hear you over here slurping your coffee.
Sorry.
And then she asked for a prescription for medical marijuana.
One of my patients came in with a sunburn. Oh my God, it's so hard for me to say what exactly my favorite skincare product is, but I think if I had to narrow it down, it would be...
I would say when you're really trying to create a brand, the most important thing is... Can you go stop the dogs from barking?
Just push through.
I thought I was talking about that.
No, I told you before I am.
Well, this has been an experience. We have one podcast down. Thank you for everyone who's listening today. We are going to continue these once a week, and we're really excited.
Yeah, thanks all for joining us. Obviously, it's our first one. We kept it pretty casual, wanted to introduce ourselves, but we really plan moving forward to have a lot of educational content, but also to keep it interesting. This is not going to be some boring PBS thing.
It can only get better from here.
It can only get better from here. So again, thank you all for tuning in. We look forward to doing more of these for you guys. And we look forward to also seeing some of the questions that you have for us to answer.
Have a good week, everybody.
That's a wrap. Remember to share the podcast with your friends. Follow the docs on Instagram at SomnicMD, at Dr. Troy Pittman, and at DC Dynamic Duo. To learn more about the procedures discussed on today's podcast, visit www.somnicpittmanmd.com. That's www.somnicpittmanmd.com.